All right, welcome back to Nuggets on the Go. Today, we have another episode on Ask Me Anything. So we're going to tackle a couple of questions. Thank you for sending the questions throughout the past weeks. Okay, so there's this question from Chris. In recent years, there are more and more younger Singaporeans buying their first property between 25 and 35 years old. Most of the time, they are targeting shoebox units. So perhaps referring to like studio or one bedroom due to budget constraints. Two questions from Chris. Currently, three bedrooms and above are more popular. Yes, which is true. We talk about that in a lot of our episodes because of the COVID effect, plus a lot of the cooling measures, plus, of course, rising prices that requires a lot of couples now to combine names instead of splitting their names due to TDSR constraints and stuff like that. But of course, couples that have dual earning power, of course, with pledging, unpledging kind of facilities, they are still able to do like one property each. But beyond that, ABSD, of course, is pretty hefty. So, which is why a lot of couples tend to go for bigger units nowadays. Property investing strategy, also bigger units. And bigger units have bigger square footage area. And thus, when $100 PSF increase, let me just illustrate so that based on this question, everybody can be very clear what we're talking about. So, for example, let's say you compare a one-bedroom versus a three-room unit. If let's say you buy something at about 500 square feet compared to something at 1,200 square feet, if the PSF of this entire project were to increase by $100 PSF, basically what's going to happen in terms of quantum, this is PSF, this is quantum. Quantum means the total price. So for example, $100 PSF increment, this will increase by $50,000. But $100 PSF over here, this will increase by $120,000. So this is what we mean by a bigger quantum increase because of the fact that you are owning a larger square footage. If this increased by $200 per square foot, basically this will be $100,000 increment. This will be a $240,000 increment. And thus, when you look at quantum gains, when you own a bigger unit, if the PSF for the entire project were to increase, you will definitely see a bigger quantum gain. But of course, this will all depend on whether in the first place, does this property owner have the ability to go for this bigger appetite compared to a smaller appetite, which is pertaining to this particular question. The first question from Chris is that currently, because of the fact that this is more popular after COVID, after rounds of cooling measures, why is that so? It's because of a few key factors. So why are bigger units more popular? Bigger units, right? It's because after COVID, with the combination of effect of COVID plus cooling measures, and take note that cooling measures, we have about 15 rounds of cooling measures, and this cooling measures is powerful in the sense that it has ABSD on local residents, meaning that your second property now you are taxed with a very hefty ABSD. It also has TDSR, which means that after the rounds and rounds of TDSR ever since 2013, we already had like 3 to 4 different rounds of revision, and now TDSR is even more stringent. And also LTV issues in the sense that we can only loan 75% on the first property, 45% on the second property. These three things in combination created a new effect in the sense that now, in order to buy, let's say, a 3-bedroom unit just for your own stay, plus prices are increasing, this resulted in the sense that a lot of couples, instead of going for like in the past, they tend to go for maybe, you know, I will go for like a 1-bedroom to rent out. Maybe I'll go for a 2-bedroom to stay. But now after all this combination of effect with COVID and cooling measures and all these kinds of different types of cooling measures, this created a new impact in the sense that the couple will think that, hey, you know, let's just go for a bigger place and let's enjoy the space while we stay in the private property. Why don't we just combine it, maybe get a four-room unit or maybe get a bigger type of 3-room unit so that we can also enjoy the space in terms of this kind of mindset. So this has been the new shift ever since 2020. We saw that burst in terms of 3-4 bedrooms, ground floor penthouses getting very popular. And a lot of people started to restructure into this approach. Of course, just now I mentioned that if let's say both couples, they still have very good earning abilities, maybe this person will get a 3-room, this person will also get a 3-room and then they will rent it out. Or maybe this person will get a 4-room and then this person will get a 3-room and then they will rent out one of it. So this is like the new trending. And couples that maybe one person is stay at home or maybe one person has a lower income level, one person has a higher earning ability, then they might combine names and then just get a big unit or maybe get a penthouse or maybe get a landed. So this is the current trend that we're seeing. And let's come back to the first question. So the first question is that with such a trend of younger Singaporeans in their 25 to 35 years old, let's say they are single, they're not getting married, they're not going for BTO, they're not going for HDB, and they don't want to wait until 35 years old to get their first resale HDB. Because if you are single and you want to get your first resale HDB, you have to wait until you are 35 years old. The question then pertains to, will shoebox units start to gain more demand in future? Shoebox units, let us define. We're talking about studio units, we're talking about one room. So maybe let's just classify them as less than like maybe 550 square feet. Okay, of course there are variations. One plus study, studio unit, open concept. There's a one bedroom unit, you know, with an enclosed bedroom. One plus study has become very popular nowadays as well. But this, of course, caters to a lot of, I think, like a demand from young professionals that are doing well. They don't have to wait under 35 to get a HDB. They can well afford a property in the range of maybe about $1 million all the way to $1.5 million. And we can see from the uptake in terms of deals that's being transacted from new launches throughout the past 10 years for this type of properties. Of course, in 2023 and 2024, a one bedroom is no longer like in the past where you can get below $1 million. Now one bedrooms, they're all above $1 million. 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, 1.5 million dollars. A two bedroom is in the range of about 1.7, 1.8 million dollars. A three bedder is already about 2 to $2.5 million for a lot of OCR districts. So what is going to happen to the one bedroom kind of trending? Now, our observation and research based on data that is seen, it seems to us that when we look at this particular category, studio plus one bedder, we have to look at them from the eyes of a resale type and a new launch type. Okay, what is this trending? This trend is very unique and is only unique towards this particular category. So what is this trend? This trend, based on our observation, is that buyers tend to favor this a lot. And we're going to circle this for you. Compared to this, why is that so? It is because, let's just imagine, let's say now you're a single professional, you are 25 years old, 26, maybe you're 29, you're 33, you're 35 years old, your earning power is there, you're single, doing very well, and you want to go for your first private property. Would you go for a new project or a resale unit? Now, of course, you might say, hey, yeah, you know, they might go for a resale unit because they maybe just want to buy and live in it. Yes, there are still transactions, strong, healthy transactions for resale one bedroom and studio units in the market. And you can get good deals. You can even get one bedder that's below $1 million or maybe at $1 million at many, many different districts. However, the trending that we see is that the new launch one bedders tend to be the hot favorite ones among this particular group of demographics of buyers. Why? I think it's like a combination of factors. Number one, because of the fact that when you go for a new launch, this particular group of buyers probably are now staying with their parents. They probably don't have the strong need to move out immediately. And they probably want to buy something that is new because maybe when you go for gatherings, you know, you tell a friend, hey, I invested in my first property. And then they say, hey, what property do you invest in? Oh, I just bought a new launch. You know, the feeling is very different compared to telling your friends that you just bought a resale that is being tenanted at the same time. So I think there's like a difference in this sense that the first owner effect among single professionals for their first property, especially for a studio and one bedder, is very different compared to the statistics for two bedder, three bedder, and four bedder. I think coupled with the fact that they're staying with parents, there's no need for them to move in immediately. They prefer new, there's progressive payment, which is good because they're single. They want to finance this property on a progressive payment approach. It might be better. The feeling of going for a first property that's brand new and nobody lived in before, with most renovation being done, you can just collect the keys in 3 years' time, take your time to pay progressive payment, and then collect the keys, go for defect check. And then by the time, if you want to rent out or you want to sell, it is a choice that they have. So I think single professionals, based on our ground information feedback plus statistics, it seems to us that new launches tend to be the hot favorite. Then it brings us to the second part, is that what about after 3 years, when the first-hand buyers that bought the one bedders, when they want to exit then will there be enough buyers to absorb this from the resale market? So that is the key question. It seems to us that based on the amount of listings available, you just need to go to Property Guru and look at the amount of one bidders available in the entire market. It is a lot in the sense that there are strong competition in terms of the amount of supply in the market. So that has been the hot topic that we've been always talking about in the Banter series, is that if you want to buy, it's easy, but you need to be prepared that when you want to sell, you need time to find a buyer to absorb your one bidder from a resale market. If you want to rent out, I think one bidders are easy to rent out, and which is why we always advocate that one bidder is a rental play. But if you want to exit, you need to be prepared as a buyer that bought the new launch in the first place, that 3 years later or 4 years later when you collect your keys and you want to sell, it's going to take a bit of time because you are competing with a lot of the one bidders in the entire market. I'm also going to give everybody a bonus link to the absorption ratio webinar that we did. So if you click on this link in the description box, I talk about absorption ratio for condominiums, and one bidders have the longest gestation period to find a next buyer. So this is something you need to prepare about, because in the very first place, if you look at the small size that is over here for the one bidder, the increment of $100 is not even enough to cover your stamp duty and your interest payments and your property tax and your MCST. So you need to wait for it to go up by $200-$300, which might take time. So this all this combination of effects, I think you have to take note of it. Especially if that's it, is it your first property, you need to take note whether should you go for a new launch one beta or maybe go for a resale market to hunt for a two beta. Something of this approach. But of course, that one we can discuss further. And I'm not against one beta. One beta new launches, these are perfect for staying in, brand new, you want to rent out. I think it's hot favorite. It's a rental play. But in terms of capital growth, if you can stretch a little, then go for something bigger. But if not, I think it's a good start. It's just that when you want to exit, you need to take note of some of the things that I just mentioned about now. So question number two, do you think it makes more sense to start early on a small unit then, or say 5 years later on a two beta? Now, it will always make sense to start earlier, even though it's a one beta. So of course you might be saying, hey Mal, it's because you know you want us to buy property, that's why you want to start earlier. Now, no, it's not that. If you look at the amount of time that we have, please do not wait until you're 55, then you want to start buying a property. Of course, I'm not saying that if you're 55, you cannot buy a property. You can. But of course, once you are into 55, this is of course the start point of what we call a defensive strategy. Now, by the time you are 55, I think in terms of approach, it is less aggressive. Of course, we still have clients that in their 50s, even 60s, they are still buying properties, but it's of a different kind of mindset already. It's more for capital preservation. Maybe they are moving to landed, or maybe they have already divested from a big landed or multiple properties, and then they are anchoring certain funding into a space that you know they can stay all the way until 90 years old. Or they are cashing out some of the properties and then buying like a big plot to rebuild for legacy planning. And there's a lot of different kind of strategies to do that. But what I mean is that if you're talking about this particular scenario that Chris asked, if you're in your 25 to 35 years old, if you just need to calculate the amount of cycles that you can go in and out based on your strongest earning capability, and I call it your strongest earning capability is up to about 50 years old. Because after that, I mean, there's things that maybe you want to do, right? You want to travel, you want to retire a little bit, you want to not have so much anxiousness, reduce your mortgage, and maybe you have different kind of planning for your finances. Your kids are of like a uni age, and then maybe they are not at home anymore. You have a little bit of emptiness syndrome. You might want to travel a little bit. You might want to enjoy the fruits of labor, because your whole life is not about accumulating so many properties that you cannot bring with you to your grave. And we all have to be very honest about that, right? We cannot bring the properties with us into the coffin. I mean, you can, of course, create a legacy that, you know, you have 10 properties to leave for your future generations. But of course, sometimes we all know that the more you live for your future generations, the sometimes you reduce your motivation in life as well. So I think this is about legacy planning, which we can have another topic about it. But what I'm trying to say is that life is also about enjoying certain fruits of labor as you accumulate and invest in properties. You might want to divest some of it along the way, enjoy the fruits of labor, turn it into more liquid kind of holding so that you can enjoy it as well while you're still strong and young at 50, 55. So what I'm trying to say is that actually our investment points are very little. And these are your strongest period in terms of TDSR, whether you're an average investor, a beginner investor, or maybe a seasoned investor, but these are your strongest earning power. I call it the best years of your life. The best years of your investing life. And if you spend 5 years to wait, because now you can only afford one beta, but you spend 5 years to accumulate your additional amount of, let's say for example, one beta here, 1.3 million example. Your down payment, you need 25%, which may be about 300 over 1,000 plus stamp duty, right? But because you want to buy a two beta at maybe 1.8 million, you need 400 over 1,000 to 500,000. And to accumulate the extra 100 over 1,000, you wait for 5 years to save up to get a two beta while you're 40 years old. Take note that this 5 years, the price of the two beta would have already increased because year on year, we're still seeing a single digit growth in terms of the PSF level of private properties. And take note that maybe in 5 years time, you cannot even afford back the one beta anymore. So it is always important to be in the market rather than to time the market. So even though you can only go for a smaller one, maybe you can maybe open your horizon a little bit. Ask your consultant, all right? Or speak to some of our PRB consultants. The link is right down below. You can, of course, scan this QR code for come for a consult session. 1.3 million instead for going for a new one beta, new launch. Maybe look at the resale market, see what's out there. Maybe you can move outwards a little bit to RCR or OCR. OCR, you can still get a three beta. But of course, this amount is dwindling already. So expand your horizon, get into the market first. Expand the product category that you can. Try to get into the private property market first so that you can enjoy the best years of your investing life where you have strongest earning power to get into the market. Now, of course, 5 years later, should there be a capital appreciation, then you can divest it and go into something else. But it's always important to stay in the market, right? Now, I hope that answered your question. Let's move to the next one now. So I received this recently from my Facebook. Let me just share this particular question, okay, from BK. Thanks for sending in. And this question says that, hello, Melvin. I've been watching your videos. I have a question. I own and stay in a freehold cluster landed semi-D in District 11. I held it for more than 2 years now. What is your take on cluster landed on the capital growth as compared to a pure landed or freehold condo? Thanks for sending your question. Sorry, I think it's instead of me replying to you over my Facebook, right? I think it's better for me to just illustrate it, put it on this episode so that everybody can also share. And of course, with illustration, I think it's a little bit easier as well, BK. Okay, so this is a freehold cluster. Sorry, my handwriting very thorough. Okay, this is D11, all right. D11 freehold cluster landed. Okay, we're talking about cluster landed. Versus a pure landed versus a freehold condo. All right. So pure landed, of course, I will presume is freehold 999. This is also freehold 999. Okay. So this one, let's just categorize them. Let's just align in the sense that freehold and 999 is belonging to the same category. Okay. And so we're not talking about 99's properties. I think perhaps, BK, you're talking about this particular question is because you're hitting towards your 3 years SSD already. And maybe you're thinking about, hey, you know, should I continue to hold this? What should be the strategy in the next 1 year as I reach towards my SSD? This is a very good scenario to talk about disparity effect. Now, based on our observation, of course, study of data and transactions and, of course, appreciation power. Fortunately and unfortunately, of course, for cluster properties, they fall into a hybrid kind of distinction, okay? So, of course, if you talk about the apex property, let's just introduce this term called apex property. Okay, apex property is something in the sense that it has limited supply. It has the A-star performance. It has good absorption from the market. That means there's a good, ongoing, healthy demand. And it has very little kind of like challenge in the sense that the demand is still ongoing, even though the price is still increasing. And at the same time, when the price increase, the elasticity is not very high in the sense that when price increase, I don't see. So PX is price. When price increase, I do not see an increase in supply. So I don't see this. Now, why is this important? Is because when a property is so elastic that the moment we see price rise, government reacts. For example, HDB properties. Price rise for consecutive quarters, government react by building more BTOs, coming out with cooling measures for HDB properties, trying to bring down the speed of acceleration of HDB properties. Now, the rationale is, of course, HDB properties, we mentioned many times, is not for speculation. It's really for having a roof over our heads. It's a kickstart to your real estate ownership journey in Singapore, where government is doing a great job, all right? And it cannot appreciate so fast. Now, condos, at the same time, even though our government wants to have a little bit more free play, but they also have to make sure that it doesn't go into like a bubble cycle, just like what happened in the past, in maybe 1997, when there was no cooling measures at all, to make sure that we keep speculation in check, which is why we have ABSD for second properties, we have ABSD for foreign investors. But if price were to go up too fast, you will also realize that there are supply measures. Government might release more land in order to curb the aggressiveness of bidding on land by developers. When we look at the Apex property, I'm talking about pure landed. So pure landed belongs to Apex property category. Because there's only 73,000 in terms of supply, it has not increased ever since 2009 until today. The supply has remained the same. All right? You might see a little bit of changes. The rationale is because people are buying up a single unit of bungalow and then chopping it up, right? Or they are buying like a bigger land plot, chopping up into two units or three units. We call it subdivision. But there's no new GLS for landed properties. The new launches you see are what we call the old money. That means certain developers has owned certain plots for a long period of time, and now they decided, hey, they want to apply to SLA and launch it as a new launch landed properties, all right? Now, it is an A-star property in the sense that price performance has been great year-on-year basis. Good absorption meaning that when you put it in the market, if you price it correctly, people will absorb it. And of course, this is an Apex property because you can value add to it. You buy the land and then you can build something on top of it. Or it comes with two products. It comes with the land PSF. It also comes with your GFA, all right? So, and most importantly is that when price increase, you don't see government increasing the supply to bring down the increase in price. So for pure landed, it belongs to the Apex property. So I'll put it as number one. So disparity effect basically is to see when this becomes a new high in terms of pricing, which is now, it has appreciated since 2020. When we look at a pure landed, in the sense that let's say, for example, somebody wants to buy an Interterrace. An Interterrace used to be able to allow you to enter at about $3 million for a decent land, 1,006 square feet or 1,008 square feet. But now, minimally, you need like $3.5 million to $4 million. And you cannot go for this anymore. So what is your next best alternative? You will then shift downwards. And we call this a substitution effect. So this is like in economics, we call it a substitution effect in the sense that because I cannot go for this, what is my next best alternative? And then in PRB, we call it a disparity effect because there's a disparity now in the sense that I cannot afford this. I will go for the next category. And what is my next category? My next category would then be a freehold because let's say this is a freehold 999. And I want to go for a landed living. So I might hunt for a cluster house. And let's say if I don't like a cluster house, maybe because I don't like to climb staircase, then I maybe will go for a freehold condo that is like a 4-bedder or 5-bedder. Or maybe I'll go for a penthouse because I want more facilities. I don't mind the staircase, but I want more facilities. I want tennis court and stuff like that. And thus, this will then sprout on even further. It will then go on even more. Maybe if I cannot afford a freehold pure landed, a freehold cluster house, a freehold condo, I might start to look for a 99 years pure landed. And then I will go for a 99 years, example, cluster house. And then maybe I'll go for a 99 years condo. And thus, this is what we call the disparity effect. There's always this cycle based on affordability. So coming back to your question, what do I think about the appreciation power of this type? Of course, then I will rank it for you in this way. Is that number one, this will be the highest appreciation power. Number two, actually, even though somebody might go for this, but I will still rank the freehold condo as a higher appreciation power. Why? Because in terms of acceptability and demand audience is bigger. This will be ranked as number three. So why is it that a cluster landed has a lower amount of audiences compared to a condo? It's because of acceptability. And take note that cluster house also have restrictions in terms of foreigners restriction. Foreigners cannot buy any cluster house. They have to buy a cluster house that has been classified as a condominium project. If not, they are not allowed to buy cluster landed properties. So take note that this will then further shrink your buyer audience, your exit audience, because you can only sell to Singaporeans or maybe PRs or foreigners with special LDAU approval. So on top of that, maybe some people might also think that, hey, instead of going for a cluster house, that technically I'm not buying the land, I'm just buying the build up. Why don't I just go for a freehold condo, for example? So these are just some of the mindset thinking in terms of what I have experienced over the last 16 years seeing things on the ground. So I will rank the appreciation power based on number one, two, and three. So that's how I will look at things like this. All right. I hope that answered your question. All right. So we'll come to the end of this particular episode. These are two solid questions. Thank you for writing in. We'll answer more questions in future NOTG episodes. Last but not least, do remember to subscribe to our brand new NOTG Telegram group. You can go in there, meet our community. Feel free to ask any questions. Our community are formed by you yourself that's been with us, being our audience for the past few years. And of course, if you've just seen our NOTG episode, welcome to NOTG Telegram group. Once our team is available, we'll also aspire to answer your questions, chit-chat and banter with you within the Telegram channel. Of course, that channel was formed with an ideation that, you know, we just want to give back, support our community, and of course, be there with you. And of course, sometimes we might not respond as much as we can, but our team of banter presenters will also be inside there. So feel free to just chat among yourself. And then, of course, we want to keep all the conversations healthy and positive as well, just to learn from one another. So thank you for supporting NOTG over the years. We hope that this will continue to allow us to do more good content for everybody. And meantime, take care.